Surely we must have a bit better idea of what heaven will be like after singing like that. We have such an excellent song leader in Gary. So many others do a good job, but Gary does such a wonderful job in leading this congregation. So many who sing so well, what beautiful singing. It's a personal joy to meet so many of you that are here tonight, be able to worship with you in this assembly. Tonight at 7:30, the first session of the Fried Hartman Lectureship for the year 2001 will be a reality. And the theme of new beginnings will begin and continue through Friday of this week. Because of the theme of new beginnings having to do with God and man and redemption, and especially the beginnings in the book of Genesis, it seems fitting for us in this service tonight to think about that general idea, beginnings. Our intention for a few minutes is to look at some scriptures that use that word beginning from the standpoint of the need of going back to the beginning. We're in a new century. We're in a new millennium. For the last several years, much has been said about bridging the gap from the 20th century to the 21st. Much has been done in planning what the church can do and should do and must do in this new millennium. Many times it has been said, and rightly so, that if we're going to bridge from the 20th century to the 21st, there is also a need for us to bridge back to the first, and the establishment of the Lord's church. And if we're going to be able to do that, there is the need of our bridging ourselves back even to the beginning of this earth, as was read in the scripture reading tonight. Back to the beginning. When we go back to the beginning, first we're going to go back to our Creator. Believe that everything that exists was brought about by the power of an omnipotent God about whom we have been singing. How great thou art, and our God is alive. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was God. The Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1, the first few words. The Hebrew writer in the first chapter and verse 10 said, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It may be that we have not come to appreciate the significance of that statement and that fact. It may very well be the case that many of the problems that we are experiencing in our time in the world today are a direct result of many people coming to believe something other than God as the Creator. Why should there not be riots on campuses? Why should there not be even the taking of life when in the classroom there is the teaching that we have evolved from lower forms of life that came about in some kind of accident? If there is no God, if there is no life after this one, do we not have fewer factors involved to encourage us to do what is right? It seems to me that that is the case. We're living today when it is not only believed but taught by many that there is no God. And even in our country, which is called a Christian nation, we face decisions that are made that tend to press God down and raise man up. Many theories are advanced that man, in a sense, is his own God and has the opportunity and the right to make his own decisions. that right and wrong is determined by what man wants and not by some set standard. Just this past week, Dowelflat was called back to Cookeville to conduct a funeral for a woman that he had converted years ago in the Michigan area. As I was talking to some of the people who knew the circumstances, they told me that the family, other than this woman, were basically atheist. And that they had said when she died, we really don't want a funeral, but she has requested one, and so we're going to ask Dowell to come back, and we want him to be sure that he doesn't speak over 15 minutes. We want this to end. An attitude of being an atheist in that there is no God has its effect upon every phase of life. And so I'm suggesting to us tonight that in order for us to have the lives that we need, the lives that I think we desire, and the lives that we would like to have for our children and grandchildren who shall follow after us, that all of this is dependent on our going back to the beginning and accepting that statement that is made in the very first part of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And when we believe that we have a God who created, who sustains, and who has the power to take life, it's going to have its effect upon everything that we do, even including the relationships that we have in our businesses, in our families, in the church, in our communities, you name it. That is a fundamental fact that must be accepted by faith as we go to the Word of God that is necessary for success in life. And I appreciate the fact that emphasis is being placed upon that this week. But it is also interesting to note that there are other ways in which this idea of beginning is mentioned, and that there is an appeal for us to go back to the beginning as far as many areas of life are concerned. Think about the home for a minute. Jesus said in Matthew 19, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" You see the word? "And that for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." Twice in this passage, he uses the word beginning. "Have ye not read," he says, "that God made them at the beginning, both male and female?" And then he said, even though Moses allowed some of these things to take place, that's not the way it was, that God had a set of principles in mind to be used for the establishment and the maintenance of the home and the family from the beginning. You only have to get into the second chapter of Genesis to see what he's talking about. "For there, when God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, from that rib made Eve to be a helper fitting, a helpmeet, a helper fitting for the man, and performed that first wedding ceremony and joined Adam and Eve together as one, he set up the basic principles of marriage and the family right there in the beginning of man's history. And he said a man's to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they're to be one flesh, and man's not to put it asunder." You go back in Genesis 2 and see basically the same thing that Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 19. And he says this is the way it was from the beginning. Oh, we have so many problems facing our families today. And yet, the answer is overlooked. In many cases, at least, if we could get people to turn back to the Bible and look at the permanent aspect of the home and also look at the intentions that God had for the family to be a happy setting where man's needs are met, where the needs of each one's met, that was the very reason for the beginning of the family in the first place. And when we read through the Old Testament, every little tidbit that is given and into the New Testament and see the instructions to the parents and the children, the husbands and the wives to each other in passages like Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6. We see God's pattern that was there from the beginning. Pattern, as far as the principles are concerned, has never changed from that time until today. And somehow or other, folks, we're going to have to start earlier with our younger ones, even in the lower grades, preparing them to understand what the Bible teaches, preparing them to get themselves ready for the family, and emphasizing to them how important it is to select the right mate and to have the right timing and to base their beginning of the family and the continuance of the family on the best marriage manual that has ever been written. If we ever solve the problems that we have in the family, we're going to have to go back to the beginning. Because from the beginning, Jesus said, that's the way God intended it to be. But when you look at the church, it's interesting that the same concept of a beginning is mentioned. In Luke's account of the Great Commission that Jesus gave, Luke 24, 46, and 47, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts the 11th chapter and verse 15, where Peter is reporting about what has happened in chapter 10 at the conversion of Cornelius, he says in Acts 11, 15, that as I began to speak, the Spirit fell on them as it did on us at the beginning. Now you take Luke 24 on this side and Acts 11 on this side, and begin bringing them closer together, and you see all of the predictions and future tense up until Acts 2, and all past tense back to Acts 2. And you come into Acts 2 and see the events on that occasion that bring to us what happened at the beginning. It's at Jerusalem. Jesus said it would begin at Jerusalem. It is the coming of the Holy Spirit and the baptismal measure upon the apostles. And Peter says that the household of Cornelius, it happened there as it did on us, the apostles, at the beginning, and you have hemmed in the time of the establishment of the New Testament church. It's interesting that the word beginning is used in another sense with the church in Ephesians 3 when he says that this idea and concept, which is the eternal purpose of God, was in the mind of God at the beginning, even back at the beginning of the world, even back at the beginning of man's history. God had in mind the establishment of the church according to his eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. And so we have the beginning of the church. At a time when there are so many different things taught in religion, and yet so much made of an appeal for unity, which in many instances seems to be union instead of unity, if we could only learn that the way to have all of this is to go back to the beginning of the church, as it started there in Acts 2. And so I fear that in the church sometimes we make the mistake of wanting to be technically right, and fail to go back to the beginning to see the qualities that were among those early Christians in relationships within the body of Jesus Christ. And perhaps we do a better job emphasizing the oneness in the reality of the body than we do the oneness in the activity of the body. And folks, it's high time that we went all the way back to the beginning of the church, which Jesus said would have its beginning in Jerusalem, and Peter said it happened there at the beginning with them. And we need to restore New Testament Christianity according to everything that was involved in the church at the beginning. And that's the only way that we can be the New Testament church. So back to the beginning for the Creator, Genesis 1. Back to the beginning for the pattern for the family, Matthew 19. Back to the beginning of the New Testament church, Luke 24 and Acts 11, pointing to Acts 2. And in order to do that, perhaps we're going to have to emphasize another place that the word beginning is used. In the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalms 119, 15 verses from the end of the chapter at verse 160, the King James Version says, "Thy word is true from the beginning. The American Standard Version says, "The sum of thy word is truth." And this whole concept is involved there of truth and it being the word of God. Notice he says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Go back and think about our text tonight in verse 3 of Genesis 1. God said, "Let there be light." There was light. All it took was God's word. Power of God's word brought everything into existence. The power of God's word brought the home into existence. The power of God's word brought the church into existence. And so we conclude that in order to go back to the beginning in all of these, what we've really got to do is to go back to the Word of God. Customs have changed, no doubt. Laws have changed by the power of the lawgiver. But not one principle relative to God-man relationships and man-man relationships has changed one bit from the beginning. Because God's word is true. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. How dare anyone say we cannot know the truth? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so in reality, and I believe this is what is being emphasized throughout this entire week, in reality, we need to go back to the word, back to the Bible, back to the word of God. And see those principles that began in Genesis and bring them down to the reality of the law under which we serve him today, the new covenant, and respect the word of God for what it is. Brethren, you just watch it. Every problem we have in the church today eventually can be traced back to whether or not there is a sincere belief that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Back to the word. Back to the Creator. Back for the family. Back for the church. Back to the word. Another interesting idea that is presented sort of in a, I suppose, roundabout way. In 2 Peter, the second chapter. We're familiar with this passage in that it's where we usually go to show that you can fall from grace, and it's one of the best passages on that. But I want you to listen to it from another angle tonight. The 20th verse of 2 Peter 2. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein again and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Is he not saying here that there was a point back here where someone escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that was the beginning of living the Christian life? What he's teaching in that verse is that when one has known all these things and falls away, sometimes it's really difficult to get him to come back, and his condition may be worse as an erring Christian than it was as an alien sinner back here before the beginning of his Christianity. But right in that is that idea that there is the beginning of living the Christian life. And there is no way that anybody can be successful in living the Christian life until he begins. If you begin the first few words of the book of Acts, "Form a treatise, O Theophilus, have I written unto thee," we think referring to Luke, "of all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Jesus began his personal ministry. Somewhat parallel to that, in Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, "I am persuaded that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord." A beginning of a Christian life. To give ourselves to God and to live for him and with him and in him as long as he gives us life upon this earth. I suggest to you tonight, folks, that the true answer to solving the world's problems is to go back to the beginning. The beginning with the Creator, the beginning for the establishment of the family, the beginning in the establishment of the church, the beginning of God's word, the principles that shall stand, and the beginning of a Christian life that shall be continued as long as we are upon this earth. And again, it must be emphasized that you can't live it until you begin it. And if you've gone astray, you cannot live the rest of your life for God until you begin to live the rest of that life in the right way. Therefore, the extending of the invitation is not just a habit. It's not just to have something to fill up space. It's not something that we just do or think we must do at the end of a sermon or a lesson. It is that great invitation that comes from the Creator who was there in the beginning to each one of us to begin that Christian life and to live it. If you need to begin that life tonight by being baptized into Christ, or to begin a new phase of your life by being restored, come as together we stand and sing.